Me, and now we're going to talk about GitOps using Azure and Terraform. Please welcome Brendan Camp from Container Solutions. Hey, Brendan, how's it going?
Hi, excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you too. So we'd love to hear what you do at Container Solutions in your day-to-day life.
So generally, what I handle is going to enterprise companies and looking at ways to help move them over to a more cloud-native operational model. So majority of our customers are these old enterprises that have very old legacy systems that have been running in their basement servers or something, and just trying to get them up to the here and now cloud model.
Awesome. And you're here to talk about GitOps, right? So let's start off, I guess, by giving us a little bit of an intro to what GitOps exactly is.
So, I mean, GitOps isn't a new thing. It's probably about a year or two years old now. It was coined by Weaveworks. The idea behind GitOps is just handling your operations in your day-to-day Git workflow. So as engineers, we tend to work on Git for majority of our software. GitOps is just taking this concept that we've been using for years in our software and applying it to the operations of our actual infrastructure.
Nice. I like that. So that's exactly what I was thinking. We've probably been doing this as developers, some of us, for quite a while, right? But this is taking that and just adopting it to some of our cloud resources and our infrastructure. I guess that leans a little bit towards infrastructure as code as well, right? And that's where the Terraform bit comes in.
Yeah. So definitely the first thing that you need is some kind of declarative configuration, right? So whether this is your Kubernetes, YAML, or Terraform, something that you can store in Git to in order to provision your infrastructure. So it's for me, it's generally we're using Terraform because with Terraform, obviously most cloud providers use it nowadays, and it's a well-known standard in today's industry, I would say.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Terraform. I love that in Azure it's built into the cloud shell and I can just kind of get up and running with it pretty quickly. I don't use it all the time, but it's always there when I need to. And this particular story around using GitOps and Terraform and Azure in a regulated industry, which is what you're here to tell us about. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that specific project and what you were kind of tasked with doing and how you went about it, really.
So in today's infrastructure, oftentimes, specifically in the financial industry or government sector, you have a lot of regulations that you have to adhere to, security, auditable changes, access control, things like this. And for us, when we started looking at GitOps, we thought this was a very good thing to fit this model, right? So if we just quickly glance at our normal Git workflows, you've got pull requests that kind of tell you exactly what's changing. You've got review processes of pull requests. You can have discussions and commits. I mean, the most basic thing in Git is your commit, which is essentially a signed by the person who makes the change and the reason why they made the change. So all of these kind of deal very specifically with these things work very well in regulated sectors, right?
Nice. So that really helps us kind of understand or work within some of those guardrails that we might have in those regulated industries. So you've taken on this challenge. You've decided that GitOps is the way to go. It meets some of your regulatory compliance requirements. I'm interested in some of the technology you use kind of beyond GitOps, some of the Terraform stuff, what you deployed in Azure using Terraform and this whole workflow. In this project?
So specifically to this project, if we just go more in detail of this, we had this idea that, we needed to use something to configure this entire system. And for this client, they, like most industries nowadays, are using Kubernetes. And for us, there's a whole bunch of Terraform. You have the right to provision these things. So just like you would in your application, we decided to rely on a framework that handles a lot of the boilerplate templating for you. And this framework that we decided to use was called KubeStack. And all KubeStack is it's a a way to provision Kubernetes infrastructure on whichever cloud provider you choose. Now, this in itself isn't really special. I mean, anyone who can do Terraform nowadays can manage this. What this really helped us with was, number one, that it's got a very, it's already got this built-in workflow for GitHub. So if you use, I don't know, something like Jenkins, something like GitHub Actions, they've already got the YAML there to kind of put into your Git repo and your Terraform, and all you have to do is configure a couple of variables, and you have a full Git workflow. And also, what I would say is very powerful, and this happens with a lot of our clients, is we go into a client, and obviously these projects are very time sensitive. So, you know, you'll often get the story of, you have 2 months to set up this production system, or 3 months to set up this production system. And what KubeStack gives us is a starting platform that we don't have to start from scratch. We have something, and then we can just build on top of it. And just because, you know, it's written in Terraform, it's very, very malleable if we need to make changes. You know, it's just a Terraform module that you can potentially fork and make whatever changes you need to if it doesn't fit with your ecosystem.
That's awesome. So I was actually working recently. I need to tell you this. I was working recently on a demo that I was building, and I needed to deploy Kubernetes in Azure. And I was using Terraform and Azure DevOps. But what you're telling me is that I could have just used KubeStack, and that would have just deployed all of this for me, and I imagine gave me some YAML files to use in Azure DevOps as well, right?
So just last week, the developer who handles KubeStack added Azure DevOps to the ecosystem. So yes, you can just copy and paste the YAML file into your Git repo, and you have a full performing GitOps pipeline.
Oh man, that's crazy. I literally could have slept that whole night that I spent writing that Terraform. That's crazy. So I'm definitely going to go and check KubeStack out. And I guess given the speed is one aspect that you mentioned that is obviously really helpful, the I need this built in 2 weeks, why isn't it done yet kind of thing. I guess that happens with a lot of clients. But also I'm kind of thinking, and tell me if I'm completely off here, does that help with the regulatory requirements as well? Because you're working within the bounds of a framework, right?
Yes. So in terms of what regulations tend to give us, there's a lot of, if you go to the website, the engineer has written a whole bunch of, why he's handled things every way. But ideally, what the underlying thing is he's trying to make the system as stable as possible. So things like, you know, duplicating environments, your basic staging and production, you're able to make changes to your staging quite quickly, your tagged releases, which means that you've got this version controlled state of your infrastructure so that if things break, which let's be honest, in today's IT industry, a lot of things often break, your simple plan is to just revert the commit, and it kind of your CI/CD pipeline or whatever you're using applies those changes, and it gets you back to a state that's a working running state, right? For us, I think what the biggest upside to GitOps is, and we see it a lot in the open source community, is this idea of collaboration. While you're in a regulated sector, there's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of process that you need to follow in order to, you know, make changes to a system. If you use this GitOps model, creating a pull request, I mean, nobody says that this pull request has to get merged. However, anybody within the company that has access to your infrastructure as code is able to, suggest a change, tell you why they need this change or why this change will help them. Maybe the operations team can say maybe there's a better way or something, but it creates this dynamic where everybody, including your developers, your operations team, I mean, the marketing guys, if they know a bit of Git, can suggest, hey, let's improve this system this way.
That's really interesting, because I also think that maybe we've always said that maybe ops people need to be a little bit more like developers, which is kind of what we're doing here with GitOps, right, in the way they're understanding Git. But this is almost flipping that on its head a little and letting developers get their hands dirty into ops. It's kind of moving the devs into the ops side of DevOps, maybe.
Well, I mean, today's cloud cloud environment, if you look at Azure, spinning up a new VM takes, you know, 10 minutes, if that, and you're able to spin it up, break it down, and really experiment, right? And in today's fast-moving world, especially if you're looking at these larger corporations, what they're lacking is experimentation. Their developers can't experiment, they can't improve their skill set, they can't test things out. Operations guys can't really test things out because, you know, they're too scared to bring down staging and these kinds of things. And I think primarily if you take GitOps and you take the cloud, I mean, you can do GitOps on bare metal and things like this if you would like. It's just a little bit more configuration. But if you take these two things, your Git repo and your cloud, it just allows for everyone to experiment and in the end move faster. And I think that's one thing Container Solutions really tries to push, is this idea that everyone should be allowed to experiment and see if they can improve the system without having too much process in the way to kind of slow you down.
Nice. So all the engineers of the future won't have those horror stories where they brought down the whole system, right? They can just do it in a safe kind of operational environment that is the same as production, right?
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I think one thing to note is with your infrastructure as code and your Terraform, duplicating your environment and keeping your environments as close to each other as possible is also much easier. I mean, if you're looking at Kubernetes cluster, you can have identical Kubernetes clusters, one with 10 nodes, one with one node. And, you know, it's cheaper and it's pretty simple to see that you can make tests on one and they should work on the other, right?
Yeah, that just makes life a whole lot easier, right, than it used to be. I think everyone should be doing GitOps, right? I'm interested on one kind of quick question before we wrap around. I've always had this contention point, and I think you may have already told us the answer about how we could potentially, like, the repo side of things. So I've seen this done two different ways, where we have like a Git repository where we couple our code with our infrastructure as code and we deploy that all as one specific pipeline. But I've also seen the other, which I'm probably personally more in favor of, where you'd have a separate repo for your infrastructure as code and a separate one for your application and two independent pipelines in your CI/CD process as well. I'm just curious which of those models you go for. I'm guessing probably the latter, but I'll let you tell me.
So generally, we try and decide this based on environments, right? If your application environments, your normal pre-prod staging prod environments that your applications adhere to, and that, you know, your applications go through those different environments in order to get released, we try and separate those out into their own repo. And nowadays, your applications are primarily based on YAML configs because, you know, you're deploying to Kubernetes, you've got your secrets that you can encrypt and store in Git. And this is one way of deployment. And the CI/CD pipeline looks different to, say, a Terraform pipeline. And the biggest thing nowadays is everyone's talking about Kubernetes operators, about how I specify some YAML and it creates a database in my provider. However, with us, oftentimes the infrastructure has a bit of a chicken and egg problem where you have to set up the infrastructure first before you can do all these operators and using YAML and these kinds of things. So definitely our approach is, you know, infrastructure separate to application environments, and then you can also separate your infrastructure environments with your application environments.
Got it. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And I'm sure we could talk all day about GitOps, Brendan, and I'd love to pick your brains more on this topic. But unfortunately, we don't have all day. So if there was one thing that somebody's watching this and they're thinking, I really need to go and start adopting GitOps for my cloud resources and infrastructure, where would be one quick place for them to go and check that out?
So I've actually written a blog on this specific client, and it gives a more in-depth look into, you know, exactly the approaches we took, why we took them, because, you know, every system has its trade-offs and compromises. So, you know, share the link with everyone watching and they can start there, I suppose.
Awesome. That's great, Brendan. So unfortunately, as I said, we're out of time. I'd love to talk longer, but we must get the show moving. Sorry about that terrible pun. After a short break, I'll be talking with the creator of the ARM template viewer. So stay tuned for that.